As always, desire y'all's prayers. I'd be able to get out the thoughts that the Lord has for us this evening. What I wrote on the board is a phrase, grudge not the harvest. And that may seem like a strange phrase to put up there. If y'all will bear with me, we'll get to that. But I'd like for us to think a little bit about harvest. It's winter time. We're all facing a potential ice storm. There was some conversation this evening before service about the impact this may have on fruit trees and satsuma trees and different things that may or may not hold up well to that. There was talk about preparation that's been made at different intervals to prepare for things. And also, if you just think in general, generally we start preparing in the fall and winter for the spring harvest of next year. In Africa, I've been reading on different planting programs in Africa. Africa tends to have two seasons, kind of a short rainy season and a long rainy season. They really don't have the hot and colds that we have. And one of the programs I was reading about, it was talking about how to really get the best crops, you needed to have your planting ground prepared before the first rains. Even though you're not going to plant them until after the rains, but if you get it prepared, if you have the fertilizer in place and that rain hits on the ground, then now the dirt's going to be well prepared, so when you plant and the second set of rains come, you're going to have a good crop. And so kind of where I want us to start off thinking is just what are we doing to be prepared for the spiritual harvest, for it to be successful? So I'd like to start reading in James chapter 5, reading verses 7 through 9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now reading this, it starts off much as we would expect from a harvest. There's patience involved. You plant something, you can't expect it an immediate turnaround. We would love the seeds you could plant in 4 or 5 days. You'd have a full-blown corn stalk with sweet corn on it. That would be nice. But that's not the way the Lord has things set to work. So there's patience called out here. And it talks about the person being willing to wait for the early and the latter rain. In this case, the husbandman is willing to give the plant the full growing season. You know, sometimes you can have a plant, it matures early. But if it doesn't mature early, you might need to wait. It may mature a little later. And one of the things that struck me, though, was that ninth verse. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And I got to thinking, now, that almost seems to come out of place. Almost, you know, where did that come from? But do you know the way we treat each other is going to impact the harvest? That we're going to be judged by the husband of, okay, I sent you into the field. What did you do for the harvest? So why would we begrudge our fellow believers? Now, grudge, the Greek word is stenazo, means to groan, to sigh. It's used of persons in distress or affliction. It means to grumble from impatience or ill humor. And I got to thinking, you know, that sounds like some, and this is speaking for myself here, not for you all. Y'all may fit the mold, but My humanity gets involved in things, and you know what? I can be ill-humored. I can grumble with impatience. Have any of y'all wished the Lord would move faster on something? Felt like somebody needed to go line somebody out, but the Lord seems to be holding everybody in check, and you just know that, Lord, if it needs to be handled, and if you just give me the go-ahead, I could go get this taken care of. We need to be careful. We may cross that line. And we need to be careful because God is going to be looking at all of us. So I'd like to turn now to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 11, but we're going to talk about this chapter here of Luke before we dig into it a little further. So the first part of this chapter in Luke actually starts off where the Pharisees are complaining about Jesus because he's interacting with the sinners and the publicans. Do you realize they're complaining about him working the harvest? These are the religious elites of that time, that day, and they are grudging that he's involved in trying to work the harvest. And so Jesus starts telling a couple of parables. He starts off with the parable of the lost sheep and the coin. And the focus of these, if you think about it, was to point out that there's a lot of people that may be in the fold for the sheep or the coins in the purse, but that one penny that was lost, that one little sheep that was lost, the shepherd left all the other sheep, said, look, I've got you in a safe spot, and I'm going to leave you. This is my words. I'm going to kind of ignore you for a bit because I need to go handle this. I need to go find this lost sheep. It's in danger. Now, if you're one of the sheep being ignored, could you get grumbly? Could you get your feelings, well, Lord, I'd like some attention right now. The one about the lost coin, you know, swept the whole house till she found that one lost coin and then went and told everybody, look what I found. Rejoicing over the lost coin. And there was rejoicing over the sheep. So with that as a background, I find it interesting that after those two parables, he goes into another parable. And we're going to start there in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. And this is the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So in this story, we have three persons presented here. One son who left, one son who stayed, and the father. And now the son who left, the one that is normally referred to as the prodigal son, prodigal means wasteful and extravagant. Sometimes we tend to think it means rebellious, but it really doesn't. It means wasteful, extravagant. And he had been wasteful and extravagant with his father's good. He had decided, you know what, father? I see everything you have. You've got a lot. And I want my part right now. You know, in a way, not willing to wait. Not willing to wait for the latter rains, to wait for the whole season, to see what all his father's goods may grow to. He wanted his portion now, as soon as possible. And so the father divided it, and then he went out looking for satisfaction. And the world's full of that today. You know, well, go see what you can do. Now I wonder, did he think he could, maybe he thought he could do better than his dad did? You know, if dad gives me what he's got, I've watched dad, I can do better. But I'll be able to live nice. Dad's a little too tight. Have any of us ever sometimes growing up wondered why your parents seemed to just restrict you in ways that you thought they just didn't understand? You could do what you wanted to do and still meet their demands or their rules, right? I don't know about you all, but I found as I've gotten older, sometimes there's a reason why the parents said, no, you can't do both of those things. They're incompatible. Well, this young man took off, and he eventually found himself for a Jew in one of the most demeaning jobs you could probably find. Herding pigs. Absolutely one of the unclean animals to them. And even worse, herding pigs and jealous of the food they were eating. Now that's a predicament. I've fallen so far that I'm herding and taking care of these unclean animals, and I'm wishing I could eat the food they're being fed. But nobody's even offering it to me. I'm not even considered as good as these pigs. The world has now got me below the pig, the animal that I thought was below everything else, and I'm treated worse than it. Do you think he thought he was going to end up there when he left? And so what did he do? You know what? I'm remembering my father's house. And all of his servants, they're treated nice. They don't have to look at the animals' food and wish they had it. They've all got food enough. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back and be a servant at my father's house. That's where I'm going. And so he took off, went back. Now let's talk a little bit about the son that stayed. I'm going to label him a prodigal as well. Somebody who was extravagant and wasteful. Because do you know he was extravagant and wasteful of his father's love? If you look at this young man, he expected, even seemed to demand to be treated extravagantly. I should have been able to also have a fatted calf. Why didn't I get one, Father? He felt like he had earned the right to expect such. I've worked for you for a while. You know, I haven't wandered off, Dad. being extravagant and wasteful with his father's love. There's something else that I found interesting if you read it. It almost seems like he was slightly jealous of the son that had left, that had got to spend his life on righteous living. Do you think there were maybe some secret desires buried in his heart that wasn't quite where it should be? He seemed irritated. Irritated that a repentant sinner could come back and get treated so well. Irritated that this person that left has come back to the fold, and can you believe that? Dad let him in. Not only did Dad let him in, but he gave him the best robe. Killed the fatted calf. Grudging the harvest. Not stopping to think. Even going as far as telling his dad, "Don't you remember everything he's done? Shouldn't you be holding that against him? Why are you forgiving him of that?" It doesn't appear that he had ever spent time yearning for or looking for his brother in these years. There's no record that he even observed him come to the house. And then the worst thing in my reading of this, he refused to enter the house because of this. He refused to enter the father's house because of this. Now the father, you know, he could be called a prodigal too, because he was extravagant and wasteful with his love for those that were undeserving. The young man that came back, it says the father saw him a long ways off. How many days do you think that father spent? I see somebody way down there. Can't quite tell. No, I don't think the walk ain't quite his. Maybe he ain't quite tall enough. Stature isn't quite his. Oh, well, let me go back to work. Oh, there's somebody else. No, that's just the neighbor. The father was watching. How many times do you think that maybe he sent word out? "Hey, servant, last I heard, my son was over here. Do you mind running into that town, seeing if you can locate him? You don't have to go up and approach him. Just go locate him and let me know what's going on. Let me know." Maybe there were visitors that came by from whatever town it was. He was, "Oh, you've been by that town. Have you seen anybody named whatever his son's name was? Have you seen my son? How's he doing?" I think he did. Now that's supposition on my part. But he seemed very, very interested in the welfare of that son that had left. And then when the son came back, how did he react? "Yes, my son is back." Son says, "All I want to be is a servant." "That's excellent, son. You can want to be a servant all you want. Here is the best robe. Here's the family ring. Put it back on your finger. You're a member of this family, son. Welcome home. And we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate you returning. Come on into the house. Welcome home." You know, the servants, there might have been some servants that slept in the house, but a lot of servants, if you read history books, a lot of servants did not sleep in the house. They served in the house, but there were separate quarters for the servants. So the father looked at that young man and said, "No, the house. You come into the house. This is where you belong." And you know, he also had to reconcile with the son that had stayed. The son that was stayed, that was upset, he had to go out to him And he's like, you know what? You're upset because I've accepted your brother back. But you realize everything I have is yours, right? Just because I've accepted him back doesn't mean he gets anything that rightfully belongs to you. Why are you upset? Where does this come from? And he goes on, you should be rejoicing. Why? Well, early in the chapter, Jesus had put out two parables. One about the sheep, one about the lost coin. Why should we be rejoicing? That which was lost is found. In this case, the father said, one that was as good as dead. I think he said that because he had heard where his son had ended up. In the pig pens, starving to death, wishing he could eat the pig's food. You know, if you're not even being fed as well as the animals that you're taking care of, chances are you're going to starve sooner or later. And he wanted to bring that young man back into the house. What stood out to me in this, and kind of ties into the grudge, not the harvest, both sons, the one that never left and the one that wandered far away, do you realize they both ended up outside the house? They both were outside the house. We have the story of the wedding feast. And what happens when the door to the house is closed in those stories? If you're outside the house, it's not good. Cast into outer darkness. The parable of the virgins with the lamps. Once again, what happens? You come to the house and the door is closed. I'm sorry, it's too late. It struck me, you know, if we're not careful, we can grudge the harvest. We can allow things to creep up into our life and not necessarily ever realize it. Be looking at ourselves much the way some of the Pharisees looked at themselves. The parable about the Pharisee praying. He prayed, and his prayer, while not a bad prayer in its right, you know, but what was his prayer about? I fast. I give tithes. I pray on a regular basis. I'm good. Thank you, Lord, because I'm good. But what did the Lord want to hear? He wanted to hear what he heard from the publican. Father, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to look up at you. I'm going to stand back here with a bowed head, and I'm going to ask you to have mercy on me, a sinner. Why? Because, Lord, anything I've got that's good came from you. Anything that is even worthy of praise is not my doing. Even if I did it, it's only because you gave me the strength. You helped me to do this thing. God wants us to be aware of the fact that we can allow ourselves to get comfortable with not having left home and not realize that we may be outside the house, just real close by. We can sit there and say, you know what? House is right there across the yard. I'm in a good spot. You know, if it's time for working and that's where you're supposed to be, you're probably in a good spot. But if it's time for dinner and you're still out in the yard, and for whatever reason, as we had in the story here, you're refusing to come in, you've got an issue with a brother, you've got concerns that, well, Lord, I don't understand why you haven't taken care of that. Why are you letting those people in? Somebody ought to just line everybody up. And you're not rejoicing for the found sheep. I would like to challenge all of us to consider. We want to be workers in the harvest. We want to go out into the fields and work. But let's be careful that we don't start grudging the harvest because we look at brother or sister so-and-so, and they're doing something, well, I don't agree with that, or I think it ought to be done differently, or because we could end up grudging the harvest, grudging each other, and disappointing the Lord, who wants instead for us to come together. You know, what did the Lord want that evening in His house? My son that was long lost, he's home. He's in the house. That's worth celebrating. And son, you come in out of the field too. I want you in the house. Why? Because you didn't leave. I want you celebrating. You're found, he's found. But instead, the father had to go out into the yard and find the son that had never left, but was refusing to come into the house. Y'all pray for me.